everyone. This is a new episode of Caroline Talks, the podcast slash YouTube channel where I, your host, Caroline Hayes, film critic and journalist, talk to film creators about their work, the industry, and what inspires them. And today I'm joined by the cast of Rue, a film which had its premiere at the 2023 Toronto International Film Festival. I always have to think because it's a mouthful to say. And I'm so happy to have them join me because this is one of the films that I feel very connected to because it talks about immigration and me being an immigrant. And I just talked to another director about the same thing, but these are stories that I'm very drawn to. So thank you so much to everyone for joining me today. We have Charles Olivier, who is the director. We have Jean, who plays the dad. We have Chantal, who plays the mom. Please remind me of your character's name.
Nguyen.
N-U-E-N.
N-G-U-Y-E-N.
N-G-U-Y-E-N. Okay, I'm a friend with the same name, actually. We have Chloe, who plays Tin. And then we have the author, Kim, who is the author of the story, and as well as the producer on the film. Thank you so much for joining me today, everyone.
Thank you for having us.
No, this is a treat for me because I rarely get to speak to like the entire lead cast for interviews. Usually it's like one or two people, so I'm very happy to have all of you join me today. So Rue is a film about this family that leaves Vietnam during the end of the war in Vietnam. Because I don't like to call it the Vietnamese War because I'm always like technically, like looking at it politically, the war didn't belong to them. Pretty much the same thing as the war in Korea. It's like, you know, U.S. politics, colonialism, and all of that had a very a big impact on the politics in this country and other people. And your characters deal with that political fallout because they become refugees fleeing from their own home and they move to Montreal, a country that's cold, coming from like the warmth of a tropical climate. To I immigrated to Canada in November. I do not recommend anyone ever do that. So senior characters do the exact same thing. Like migrate in the bitter cold. It was like, I feel them. I understand.
Yeah.
Your film really does get into the emotional toll that being a refugee and being an immigrant takes. It's like leaving your home during war is already extremely difficult, but to move to an entirely different country where people don't understand you, not just linguistically, but culturally, mm-hmm. you know, and I think your film talks a lot about the culture in particular. And like your film really does show the impact of that. And all three of the characters on both the children and on the parents in very different and specific ways. So I want all of you first to talk about just like this, like for you, I'm gonna talk to you because I'm gonna ask you about creating this story. But for you, as the lead cast, what drew you to this particular story, and when did you think it was the correct time to be involved in a project like this? We can begin with you, Jean.
Yeah, well, for me, it was very personal because I didn't grow up really being so close to my culture or the history or my parents at all. And being involved in this project, doing some research, you know, trying to learn more about the history of things, drew me a little bit closer to my parents, which we would have conversations every day, how to speak, and also see a little bit of a little glimpse of what they went through. You know, there's still a lot to talk about, but this project allowed us to open up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for you, Chantal,
doing this film has been, you know, a thing on my bucket list for the longest time because it's such a special, particular, unique story. And when you mentioned about coming to Canada in the middle of winter, I mean, you don't get to see that very often. So to be able to portray something that's so specifically of Kim's story, but then also of my parents, and being able to walk in their shoes and experience a lot of the same things that they've gone through, like the when they worked, my mom worked at a factory as one of her first jobs. Like doing those things and portraying that was such a unique, beautiful experience. Mm-hmm. I feel so fortunate to be able to work with this team. Amazing team.
Yeah, no, you guys are amazing. For you, Chloe, like your character is literally the center of the film because a lot of the way that you shoot her, she's dead center in the film. So like she is like literally the figurative and literal center of this film. So for you, like, especially at such a young age, working on such a, I think, a heavy subject topic, like dealing with being a refugee, dealing with immigration, but also assimilation and integration, which I always talk to, because two very different things and have two very different purposes and effects. for immigrants. So for you, like, what was it like selecting this film, and like, did you have any conversations with your parents about why you would work on a film like this?
Well, not really. Now that you're talking about it, like, what? My parents didn't go through that. My dad, he's Canadian, and my mom, she's Vietnamese, but she didn't escape war. She lived in Vietnam. I lived in Vietnam for 10 years, and I just moved here, and then, like, I didn't go through the fact to know more about the war.
Yeah.
But
you were not allowed to, actually.
I wasn't allowed to talk about it. Wow. Like, I knew there was something up with that because my grandparents went through that. Because my grandpa comes from the north. He had to go down to the south. And so I knew that happened, but I never asked anything else. Mm-hmm. And when I started to do the movie, my grandparents didn't really like that. They didn't really want me to do that movie, but then, like, after the fact that I was too busy to talk to them, they came to their senses and they're like, we're super proud of you. You're doing a movie, and that's like when, like, that's the talk. I didn't talk to my parents. My mom didn't live that.
But that's a testament to what an amazing actress she is, to be able to portray, exactly, you know, and experience that so far from your experience.
And you didn't have anyone to really give you the information, since your grandparents didn't want to talk about it. So you kind of, like, had to go basically on the script, the story, and, like, interacting with both Zhao and Zhao. Which I think is amazing. So, like, kudos to you.
But with Zhao, he would, like, before the scene, he would tell me, like, what's happening, like, in detail. So that really helped. Thank you. And so, yeah.
And I think there's also transmission. You know, history does go from one generation to the next without ever speaking or talking. So I think Chloe, even though she has never lived through the war, she was in the country, was born there. So in one way or the other, and you just said that your house is next to...
There's a museum, a war museum next to my house, and I'd go there and I'd read stuff and I'd be like, oh, that's really interesting.
It was kind of like abstract for you, it was like an abstract reality.
But the things that were written were the side of the North people. That's their perspective, the South people, we were against them and stuff like that. And so that's their mindset.
Yeah, but still to know, you know, like in Canada, when do you have, like, a war museum next to your house,
right? Those are kind of, like, sectioned off.
Tanks. There were, like, tanks in there. I was like, I look like an ant next to it.
Yeah. So, like, there's a saying that history is written by the victors, right? Yeah. So it's kind of the same. So, like, the victors tend to dictate the perception of history. So, like, usually, like, as you were saying, John, you have to do the research for yourself, which is something, for me, like, when I watch films like this, it always piques my curiosity to do research into the stories and into the history, because I do know a bit about the war in Vietnam. I do know a bit about the U.S.'s role in that, you know, the CIA, and, like, how a lot of that played into the war drugs, because it's very connected. But, and I do have friends who are Vietnamese. I have a friend who actually just moved back to Vietnam from Texas, and, like, he's a film critic too, and, like, he's trying to, like, do his part. But watching this film made me very... I love films about the immigrant story, because I always think we're such a special group of people because we're so resilient. We have to be so resilient, you know, and it takes a toll on you. And so for Kim, like, tell me about writing the story about, especially, like, hearing Chloe say, like, her grandparents didn't want her to learn about it and talk about it. How was it for you, like, basically having to reconcile a history that your own grandparents or parents didn't want to talk, so you have to write it in a book?
My family talks, though. We talk too much.
They talk too much. They're like, this is what happened.
Yeah. And also because we have the opportunity to live in a free country, right, without censorship. So it's very different because of that. But I must say that the book, yes, we talk about the immigrant story, but we always forget that inside the immigrant story, there's also the story of those who have welcomed us.
Yes.
You know, those who have carried us, or who have given us a hand at one point or the other.
Yeah.
So to me, it was also about that story and not only the story of us being resilient, mm-hmm. because that we kind of know.
Yeah.
And but we forget about the people who have brought us an apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
Who
too many apple pies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's full.
Yeah. Apple pies and spaghetti.
Yeah, and we made the best spaghetti sauces in Quebec, right? Mm-hmm. But and that's why I needed Charles Olivier to be on board with me, mm-hmm. because I needed him to be from the other side.
Yes.
You know, how did you see us back then when we arrived, because we couldn't see ourselves, right? And so how could you welcome and take in someone who you couldn't speak to, couldn't exchange? And that's the beauty of a human with another human, you know, in times of need, we just help each other. And the movie is also about that.
Yeah, I think. It is, and it's true, because when I immigrated with my sister, my kid's sister, and we were grown, we were adults, we were 26, but our dad was here for a bit because our dad used to live a few years ago, and then he moved back home to Barbados because he's what we call a snowbird. He goes home in the winter and comes back in the summer. So after he left, one of the things I can genuinely say what you're saying about community is, like, I personally don't think I would survive the way I did without the community that I formed. Like, we went to church, and, like, it was predominantly a church full of mostly of people of West Indian background or South African, and even, like, Southeast Asian and South Asian. And honestly, the way that they formed the community around us, that was a survival mechanism, because I wouldn't have had anyone to show me around, like, moving from an island to a metropolitan city on a continent is... It blows your mind. Just the scope of living in Canada. I'm 16 years and I still can't get used to the fact that I live on a continent. Like, I still expect to look outside my window and see the ocean. Mm-hmm. So like, having people around me who can welcome you, because being real, like, Canada is still has very much racism, has a lot of bigotry. And if you don't have people who welcome you as you are, that can cause so much mental and emotional damage. And the film, I'm glad the film does highlight community and show that these people were accepted. Because what you do is very much, I think, is very important. It shows that there were people who don't fully understand. And they're like the teacher that's telling them, like, oh, your name is Jamie. I'm like, first of all, her name is Tim. You need to call her. Like, that's one of my pet peeves when, like, you move and, like, you have, like, teachers telling you, giving you Anglo-Saxon or European names. I'm like, no, you're going to learn to pronounce my name.
But also us, you know, we sometimes change our own name
to make it easier for them. And there's a thing, like, the little girl that she becomes, the little girl was like, no, your name is Tin. And that's what she refers to her as the entire film. So I appreciate that. So talk to me now, Charles, about working with this team and working with him and producing this story. And as she said, giving that outside perspective, because it's true, we can only see ourselves from our perspective. I mean, we look at people who look like us, but we don't know how other people perceive us, especially as immigrants. So talk to me about becoming involved with this project and saying, I will be the white man to do this story. I have to be serious, because I did think about it. I'm like, a film like this made by a white person, I did have to be like, talk to me, tell me how you said, I am the one to do this.
I was chosen by Kim.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was chosen by Kim, and it was a meeting of the minds, because to me, I mean, a film is a work that, and especially something like a film like that, everyone will see it, will have their own, it will become, I mean, a film, it's not mine, it's yours. It belongs to the people who see it, who watch it, and it's up to you to make it and to define it the way that you want. But at some point while making it, I have to do it in a way that has to belong to me at some point, a part of it. And to me, it was a story about immigration. It was a story about welcoming. It was a story of cultures coming together. And it was like when Kim said to me very early on, she said, it's a love letter to Quebec. Mm-hmm. And I want it to be a love letter, because who Kim Tsui is today is who she was then, but who she was during that trip that brought her to Quebec and to Montreal, and who the people that she met, the culture that she, and because of all these meetings, of all these people, all these changes, she's become this artist who has written a book that has sold and that has been translated in 45 languages and sold around the world. And then I was like, okay, what I love here is the fact that, yes, you are Vietnamese, yes, you come to Quebec, but above all that, she was an artist. Mm-hmm. Before she knew she was an artist. Before she put down a word, the artistic instinct was really deep rooted in there. And then when confronted with the new world, whether it's difficult, funny, quirky, weird, but she noticed the world around her, and the world around her was there's people or details or food. It was a way for her to create her own identity, away from what her mother and father wanted. And it was a way for her to become the woman, the human, yes, the refugee, because it's part of her identity, but I don't think Kim has ever identified herself as that, but it is part of her. And I thought it was so beautiful. And I was like, I want to see the artist before the artist. The artist that sees the world, but she doesn't know that she will be an artist. She has no idea. But it's so strong and so, that she will look at the world and she'll be like, oh, I like, this is weird, this is nice, this is funny, this is dangerous. And then she will feed off of that. And all this is not something that she's told me, it's something that it's in her writing in the book. The way that she writes the details, I mean, if you read the book, you can smell this, whether it's Quebec or you get snow or dust in Vietnam, you can smell, you can touch. Sometimes I was sweating because I was in Hanoi with Kim. Sometimes I was cold because I was in Quebec with her. There's some, and I'm like, she noticed all these things. She saw these things and it she observed these things more than most people because it was part of her identity, of her artistic journey, and that's the thing that I wanted to tell.
Why it had to be him. I had never seen all this.
But to me that was
yes, it's still my virginity.
Yes, yes.
And I thought it was such an interesting journey.
Yeah.
From Vietnam, but then it's weird how, like, I don't know if you have kids or not, but I mean, but
have a dog.
But when you have kids, it's like you want your kids to be a doctor, you want your kids to be happy, to be friends, to that's what. But the nature of your child, boy, girl, wherever you're from in the world, the nature of your child will prevail. Mm-hmm. And if you let the person bloom and become what he needs to become, what he's inside, because a lot of my dad wanted me to follow in his trail of working and construction, that I was a filmmaker and it was too strong to stay inside. And I love that because Kim, she was a child, she was, as she says in the book, she was like the shadow of her cousin. She was very quiet, because she was hesitant to be what was boiling inside her. Mm-hmm. And to me that was the film that I wanted to make.
And you did, and you mentioned the artistic side, because one thing about this film that I realized, to me it reads very much like a painting. Mm-hmm. And it reads very much like a painting about transitions.
Yeah.
So one of the things, and I haven't read her book yet, I definitely will now, because one of the things, I'm a very visual person.
Yeah.
I love the visual look and feel of this film, but I love how the visuals of the film just works around the characters. Like, for instance, you mentioned the shadow, and like Chloe does their scenes with Tate, where like she sees her friend, but then she sees her cousin, and the cousin is inserted into that. Mm-hmm. And that's like, again, you're centering her, but you're also centering the people in her life.
Yeah.
Visually, you're telling the audience, these people are important to her.
Yeah.
Pay attention to who these people are. And then there's the scenes with the mother and the baby, where she was like, well, anyone want more bread? That broke my heart. But I love the transitions, because you're showing, you can't, when you're coming from, like, whether it's a war or whether it's any kind of trauma, that can inform the way you relate to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that was informing the way that Tim relates to the world. And the way how you, I think, interact with a lot of the, because like you don't really have much dialogue outside the home, but the way you I guess the word I'm looking at, the word that's coming to my mind is transpose the emotions that she's feeling outside of the home, because she's more comfortable at home. Because like there's a scene where she tells her mom, speak to me in Vietnamese, and the mom says, you're not in Vietnam anymore. And I was upset because I'm like, hold on to your culture, don't forget that, hold on to your language. And so when she's outside, she's like, I can't speak to anyone in Vietnamese. you know, but I don't want to speak French because French is not part of my identity yet. She knows French from being like from because I'm Vietnam, I was a foreign French colony. She knows a little bit because of what her dad did, but she's like
she didn't know any French.
But she kind of like
on this. She could understand ish, but she couldn't speak.
That's like me. I can understand a bit of French, and I'm like, but I can get the general gist because I don't understand my French. Has like why is it shirty to be female? But that's a different story. But like the way how you do it, like, because she has to be observant, because as you're saying, she doesn't know much French, but she has to observe the people around her. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that comes to like she's observing if these people are a threat or if they're a friend, because she doesn't know them yet, you know? But there's the way that you're just like very observant, you're watching the world around you. Like, I think one of my favorite scenes is the scene on the pastor where Min, the dad, is standing in the background. And there's the inference of the explosion.
Yeah, and the snow.
And it's like, and I thought it was a beautiful shot where it just explodes and it lands on the snow. And it's like, that part of her history has not left hers yet. Mm-hmm. So it's been brought over into her present, right? And so like when she goes to pick up, I'm assuming it's like maybe like one of the flowers, and Min is standing in the background watching her. And the way you just like, the way you're just standing there and then you just move forward, like it's a small moment, but it's like telling me, okay, she's not beginning to pick up the pieces of her past. And before, and you do such an amazing job with having so little dialogue in this film, but you inform so much of what the story is. Like I can see like everything about Tin in the story. So talk to me about playing a character with such little dialogue and having to not face act, but just like,
I just wanted to say
that frustrated you.
She was like,
she was frustrated.
Charles, everyone speaks more than me. So Kim and I went like, Chloe, you are screaming and yelling with your eyes.
Everything. Yeah, so like, I was so mad because I love talking. I love talking. And like, I'd be mad. Like, why wouldn't you let me talk? I know how to talk. Yeah. Like, it could speak Vietnamese, it could speak English, it could speak everything you want me to say, but why can't you just let me scream and like that? And they're like, but you're talking so much. You're talking through your gestures, your emotions, like the way that I portray her emotions, that's the way I'm talking. Mm-hmm. And through my eyes, like the way that I looked around. And like, you were talking about the scene with the explosion. Yeah. That's also one of my favorite scenes, but the thing
so
I
cold
love,
so
oh
cold.
My God, yeah.
I miss Montreal in winter.
No, that day was cold.
That was freezing, okay? But like, the moment that I love the most about that explosion is when, look, she has the pedal, but she drops the pedal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's like, I was like, oh, mic drop.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, she's like, I received my past, but I'm also willing to let it go and move forward.
She's like, I'm letting this go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is where, you know, his work is extraordinary.
Yes.
Because that's the artistic interpretation of, instead of saying, okay, that's it, I'm happy with my new friend. No, it's just a very simple gesture to let a petal leaving from the hand, you know, and that's the brilliance. I don't know how you say it. Yeah, so that's why it had to be.
No, it is, and that's why I said that.
It's not because it was white or male.
No, I mean, you understand
it. Yeah, absolutely. So we should also look beyond his very tall body.
No, he has a huge heart.
Yes.
And
so
he understands like the way that this movie had to be. It couldn't have been anyone else than you.
I was chosen by her, so I
don't know. I think a Vietnamese person would make if we had a Vietnamese director, probably we would how would I say it? It'd become very personal and almost, you know, militant in a way, instead of being artistic. And, you know, it's, and it was Ocean Vuong, an author, who said to me, that a publisher always expects an immigrant to tell an immigrant story. It never, you know, they didn't kind of allow us to be more than just an immigrant story, right? And this is, in the movie, I wanted it to be more than just a movie about an immigrant story. It is a movie, first of all. Yeah.
She told me that she reminded me, we worked for 6 years on this film before, the, you know, and she reminded me, this is not an immigrant story, child. This is, yes, it's part of the story. It belongs in the film, but it's not all of the film. And to me, that was something that I carried in my little bag, and I have to make good on that promise, because if not, then I will, because the book is not a book about immigrants, it's not an immigrant book, it's not that. It's
also about writing, right?
Yes.
I hope that people who read the book would say, I hope that it's also about the words, the beauty of the words, and the beauty of the sentences, and it has to be more than that, because we always forget that an immigrant also has a life.
Yeah, we may be immigrants. I claim myself as an immigrant for like a lot of personal reasons, for like remembering where I came from and the land that I live on. But I'm also very cognizant of being more than that. Like, I've done so many different things. I've lived so many different experiences, and one of the reasons that I'm doing that, I do the job that I do now, like talking to you, like the reason that I say I'm drawn to immigrant stories isn't because necessarily it's just strictly about immigrants, but it's about I can relate to these stories no matter where we came from, because there's that one commonality, but there's all of these other experiences that I can draw and references to, like Montreal being bitterly cold. Like I have that understanding, and you like talking about who I'm talking about, even if these weren't immigrants, even if they had moved from like one province to the next, but moving during winter, I can still relate to the fact that was a bad idea, moving in winter.
Even though an English Canadian to go to Quebec, so and not to learn French, it should be the same.
Exactly. Know,
the same emotion of loss and losing your network, right? You don't know nobody no more.
Leaving your family and everything that you know behind, whether you move like country to country, province to province, state to state, is still hard, it's still community. And one of the things about the parents that the thing is that people, even they talk about immigrant stories, when these stories are talking about like, for like, it's the center of the story, but like what I think the film does so beautifully, it shows who these parents are. We got to see who they were a little bit before, but we got to see how this affects them, not just like leaving Vietnam, but just like having to learn how to be around their own new network, you know. And it's different because like as a child, like children make friends easier, she can relate to these children, she has this set network, like she goes up to school and it's like a community there, but the parents have to find and make their own community. And like, you know, making friends as adults can be very difficult, can be very hard. And that's something that I think you do beautifully in the film, is showing how for them they have to learn how to branch out for themselves. They may be adults, but they still have to find a
group. And the support, the strength of the father.
Exactly.
Right? But also the happiness of
Yeah.
And that, you know, it brought so much joy, and I cried and laughed at the same time, because it was so, not laugh but smile, because there's joy is still there even when it's hard. And you did it so well. Just one little move.
I love the relationship between the parents. I wanted both of you not to talk about their relationship, because I think their relationship is so important, because I was saying, like, we know that as adults it can be hard to find new community, but it can be even more difficult where, like, the people that you're meeting know nothing about your past. You know, like, for your character, he was a lawyer, you know, he worked for the government, he had an established career, like, in Vietnam, where they know where they were, like, people would, even if they don't know you personally, they'd be like, oh, he's a government worker. You know, like they, you have that established for you. Like your character, she had a life, she had a family, she had her mom. You know, she had all of these people, this support network. She doesn't know she's going around women that don't know her. And like for women, like we know, like having relationships with women is so important. And for her, she's surrounded by these women, but she still hasn't yet found that support network, because I think she's a bit embarrassed to be working where she's working. Like, not that she's ashamed of it, but you do such an amazing job in the scene where like Min brings Tin to the factory, and you look up and you see her and you're just like, oh wait, I don't want my daughter to see me doing something like this. It was like your face spoke so much, and I in my head was thinking she's embarrassed, but it's not that she's ashamed of the job, it's just like my daughter seeing me in a way that she's never had to see me before. Mm-hmm. So I want the both of you now to talk about being parents. You can say something you want to say, but I want you both to talk about being playing these parents who have to find a new connection as parents, but also as individuals away from their family.
Well, about that scene, it was a scene that I talked to Shana Demir about, and when we were shooting this project, my mom had told me that the first time she cried while she was in Quebec was when she was working at the factory because it was so hard and it was one of the most difficult jobs that she had held. And so it's something I asked if we could include in the
story. Also, it wasn't originally in the script.
No,
because my mom is the contrary.
I never loved this.
Okay.
She's more like, rah.
But I, when I was shooting a lot of those scenes, Shal would be like, you have to be tougher on her, you have to be like more severe, because you have to yell at her more, because by nature, we're affectionate, we love each other so much. So playing that kind of mom, I think was more difficult.
Yeah, but it came up tough, you know, this is what the movie is about, the freedom of creativity, you know, like that move, that dance move. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, just came out of nowhere on the day, I think,
right? Because he's a dancer.
He's a professional dancer. So it came.
What genre?
Like
ballroom.
Contemporary.
He's so good.
Come on.
But overall, for me, it's not, you know, so the immigration story is important because it's a story about loss, but more importantly also it's a story about what you gain. Like you gain the memories of these beautiful moments when Din first comes into Montreal and experiences all of the new relationships, all of these little memories that make him tweet the writer that she is today. That's what the movie is for me, a collection of these memories that make you who you are. Mm-hmm. And it's beautifully captured in the book, and I feel the film has the same essence of like these imprints. You know, you're continually imprinted with memories that stay with you for life. That feels like yesterday, and you know, that's what it feels like.
And for you, Jean, there's a scene in the dancing, but I think one of my favorite scenes with you, there's a scene on the snow with Ting where he goes and walks up behind her just like offering that kind of support. But I think my favorite scene with you is in the where he goes to ask for the job at the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And he meets this black man who's a manager at the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And the reason I love that scene is because this man may not know him, but he knows him.
Yeah.
Like, he acknowledges his background. He's like, oh, well, you had a really good job, because like, While the people in the community are very welcoming and all this, they still don't really understand.
But he does. The
but
guy
that man instantly gets it. He's like, oh, you had an established position. Oh, like, you're a learned man. Like, you have education. And he's just acknowledging that stuff. And I think there's something you do where you're telling the story. And it starts out as a voiceover, but then you switch it over where we can see them. And it's just like, he's like, oh, someone who gets me.
Yeah.
You know, you have that acknowledgement. I think that's so important for him in that position, because he's like, a job is a job. I'm just here to provide for my family. But this man is like, he's like, yes, a job is a job. But
I hear you.
But I hear you. I understand your position. But I still want you to know that I know where you came from. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is like, I've had that experience where when I came here, I had to go to adult high school, because here in Canada before, I don't know if they changed it, but if you were out of tertiary education for more than 5 years, you have to renew your high school diploma if you want to apply for college. Mm-hmm. And I was a grown adult. I was like 20s, I was 27, 28, but I had to go to adult high school. Mm-hmm. And I was in classes with people who were like who were veterinarians, I was in classes with people who were doctors, like, you know, like who had like extremely big positions in the countries there were. Like, I was in chemistry with a woman who was a physicist. She was Japanese and she was a physicist, and she's in grade 11 chemistry with me, right? But it's like the same thing where it's like he got that acknowledgement. He's like, because we had a lot of those kind of discussions where we said, we are on the same level playing field here, but I acknowledge where you came from, I acknowledge the work that you have to put in your background. And that scene, I think he really needed that affirmation and saying he really needed that affirmation. He's like, it's a quiet moment, but he's like, okay, as someone sees me, as someone who's not my family, who gets me. So talk about that aspect of Min, because I think Min is like, he's very quiet, but I love, to me, some of my favorite characters are the most quiet characters, because they're the ones I pay attention to most, because I'm like, what are you thinking? What's your, like, you're observing. So like, talk to me about playing Min.
Yeah, well, you know what, when you have a kid, you just want to do everything for them, mm-hmm. right? So for him being in Vietnam, being a deputy, or studying law and whatnot, coming to Quebec then and have a job as a janitor or having several jobs just to provide for the family, it might just be the same thing because he just wants to lay the ground for his family. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing. I think for both parents, it was the same thing, the same thoughts. So that's what drove him, mm-hmm. basically, right?
You get to have fun and not the tiger mom.
I can see how people look at your character as a tiger mom because there's a scene where she's like,
wait, Kim, was your mom a tiger?
Of course, she's
still so is. She's so is.
Wow. 10 tigers, I don't know, a whole bag of tigers.
But the thing is I don't see her as a tiger mom at all. I see her a lot as like my mom. But like the thing that there's this line where she says, she was like, oh, you know, you can be a doctor, a lawyer, a dentist, and all this. And then she's like, or you could settle and be an engineer or a condo. And she's like, settle. Keeping as a CPA takes years, but I'm like, she likes settling. But I didn't see her as a tiger mom because I think, especially in that particular circumstance, she saw that Tim was struggling, but in her own way, she was just like, this is, and in doing that, she gave her the gift of like being a writer, wanting to be a writer, because if she hadn't given her that book, she wouldn't have discovered the language that she fell in love with. She wouldn't have discovered the words.
They've been knocking.
Oh, really?
I've been trying to talk.
She was just a great mom and everything. So, but there's one of my scenes because we're going to talk about the community now. The scene at the dinner table where they're all talking about their experiences and they're relaying that information to this new family over the dinner. It was just like, what's happening at this dinner? But there's a scene where the men are singing outside and like the family is watching them. Can you tell me what they were singing? I want to know because I'm just super
curious. Wait, which six are you?
It's the mansion. The sugar shack.
Yeah.
And the men are singing, the Quebec men are singing, and I'm like, first thing, the reason I'm asking not because just I'm curious about the song, but I think it also is a way of the family getting to see the Quebec people in a different light, because they're getting to see them in a community in a way, because for like a lot of people from a lot of indigenous communities, music is a very big part of our country and culture, and music is a very big part of Vietnam culture. So like they got to see that, oh wait, this is something we have in common with these people.
Yeah.
You know, it might be a completely new country, but we have music to connect through. So talk to me about that scene that we were around.
The music was a that specific song is called the Pitsibana, the small happiness, or the little happiness.
As if it was a thing that you could pick up.
And that was a tradition in my family to sing this song and when I was a kid, my grandfather would sing this song when we were gathering at the winter shack. But when I told Kim said this is one of the first songs I ever heard. It's from a Quebecois. How can I say it? It's like a folk singer, but he's like Bob Dylan before Bob Dylan. I mean, he's a hero. He's a national hero.
Oh, he's
a
national hero.
And he's a major, major part of our identity. And that song is, for me, was a way of connecting these people that life is hard for refugees, life is hard for this family, life is hard, but we find happiness in the little things. And to me, that was a good bonding moment of these people that, and music connects people, art connects people.
That's amazing, we didn't even know that.
Yeah,
we didn't.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you weren't listening because I explained exactly that.
I didn't even know the connection.
We're busy eating.
Thanks for asking that last question. Another beautiful scene because this is the time where we get to watch the family on screen right before everyone was observing, and this time they get to be the observers.
So everyone, this was another episode of Caroline Talks for the 2023 Toronto International Film Festival. Before we begin my intro, please forgive my voice. I'm a bit hoarse right now. After TIFF, I went to South Korea to cover the Busan International Film Festival. I had an amazing time there. I did coverage for the Fakir Crush American magazine, which I also covered the Busan International Short Film Festival and Jeonju Film Festival. But I've been, it's been a while after that, actually, and I've been sick for a while. I was sick even before TIFF. and not COVID, thank God, but I have a doctor's appointment to figure out what's going on, but my AI affected my voice, so forgive me for being hoarse. So as I said, this is one of my interviews for the 2023 Toronto International Film Festival. This was for the film Rue, directed and co-written by Charles Olivier Michaud, based on the book Rue of the same name by Kim Thuy. And in this interview, I was joined by Charles Olivier, lead actress Chloe Dejanji, Chantal Thuy, Jean Bui, and Kim Thuy herself. I was so happy to be able to speak to them. This is probably the first time ever that I've been able to speak to a director, the lead cast, and the author of the book of film is based on. So it was a special treat to me. And they were so fun to interview. I'm going to have to see if I can do another interview with them, because I said this all the time, but I mean it. And every time I mean it, because I just love talking about film. And I love talking to the creators of films about them. So they were all amazing. Like, I was so surprised to learn that Jean is a dancer. But when you watch the film, you can see, because the way he carries his body is so, I think, so elegant. And Chloe, she did an amazing job for her. This is her first lead role, and she did such a fantastic job. And Chantal, like, she's amazing. She's been in loads of other projects. If you've seen Black Lightning, she was in that. She was the lead for that. And I didn't tell her during the interview or after, but I was kind of geeking out in the beginning, because I was like, oh my gosh, that's sweet. So it was a bit of a fangirl movement for me internally to speak to her. I kept it professional, of course. But then, of course, Kim was lovely to talk with. She was so funny. And Charles Olivier, it was great to have his perspective on the film and about the story that the film is based on, because it's about a group of people called the Boat People, who were Vietnamese refugees who fled Vietnam in 1975 and after, during and after the war in Vietnam. And like, a lot of them settled in Montreal because, a lot of people don't know, a lot of Vietnam was a French colony, a former French colony. So their French was spoken there. And like, they settled in Montreal. And the film is about building community, how community can be healing for refugees and for immigrants. And it's about just like found family, and about finding yourself as a family in a new home, in a new country, but also finding family from the community around you. So I had the great pleasure of getting that insight from Kim and the cast. And you can listen to other interviews for my TIFF coverage on my, of course, you're all listening to, I always say this, but I always forget, but you're listening to the podcast. So find other interviews for that, as well as for the New York Asian Film Festival. And you can go to kacrush.com to watch my interviews for the Busan International Film Festival there. Go to my Instagram and my Twitter pages, and you can find links to my work there. My Instagram and Twitter have the same handle. That's at Carrie, CNH12, CARRIECNH12, as well as to my R3 page. That's AUTHORY.com. That's my digital portfolio, where you can find links to all of my published work there. And I've been having such a great year work-wise, because I've gotten to speak to so much amazing people. And I always value each and every interview that I'm able to do. I value the time that these people take to talk to me and to share their experiences and their perspectives on their craft with me. I don't take any of it for granted. So I appreciate the cast for Rue and for Charles Olivier and for Kim taking the time to speak with me. And I'm going to wrap up here, because I can hear my voice getting sore. But you can, of course, go to my YouTube channel as well. That's youtube.com/@ Carolyn, Carolyn _Hinds, Hinds, to find the video versions of all of my interviews there, as well as those I've done for like Korean films, for Minmang, which had its world premiere at TIFF. But I also, while I was in Korea, I had the amazing chance to speak to the director Kim Tae-young and their interpreter, Mark. Forgive me for not remembering his name. You guys know, I'm terrible with names. But I had the chance to spend like some time with them. They showed me the Korean film archive. We didn't get to go in, but I got to see what the building is. I got to go to the NBC building, take a picture of the statue. We had a fantastic interview where I got to learn more about Tae-young and his work and his experience as a filmmaker in Korea. And they treated me to dinner, and it was amazing. So thank you, Tae-young. But yeah, so all that coverage is coming up as well. I have more interviews for TIFF coming as well, so look forward to those. So until the next episode of Carolyn Talks, everyone, stay safe. Bye.